We shall round off the discussion on the qualifications or the means you may regard it as qualification or you may regard it as the means, the sadhana for self-knowledge, with the further discussion on the Kathopanishad. We saw how this boy, Nachiketas, approached Yama, or the deity presiding over death, or faced his own death in the fashion of Ramana Maharshi. I am dead. Now what happens? And Yama is the name for the god presiding, the deity presiding over death. Suggested, why do you inquire about who you are and what you are going to be after you die, after death, after this thing called death? Why don't you enjoy yourself? Why don't you prolong your life? I'll give you as long a life as you would like to live. I'll give you all the wealth of the world and all the comforts and pleasures that you might desire. Why don't you go on like that? In that, I think one can also see another interesting aspect, and that is you want to know whether something survives the disintegration of the body, and if so, what? What is that? May I suggest you live a long life, you enjoy yourself, and probably you will discover that what lives now is what survives death. You assume that something dies and want to know what lives after that. Instead of questioning that, why don't you question yourself now? Live another 10 more years and see if you can discover what it is that lives now. That is what lives after. This might be another interpretation of the same story. It may be regarded as test. I don't question that belief, or I don't question the tradition at all, that the guru tests you. That's one point of view. Another point of view may be, and this seems to be Ramana Maharshi's point of view, that is, inquire into what lives now. That is what survives the event known as death. So instead of pretending to be able to see what survives death, what continues to live after the disintegration of the body, inquire into it straight now, right now. It is here and now. And therefore, Ramana Maharshi was fond of saying, if you know what you are now, you will naturally know what you will be after death. By seeing that which is does not die. This can be another point of view. And the third one was an extraordinary attitude adopted by our Guru Swami Shivananda. If you went to him, he placed in front of you quite a few things. I'll give you an example, an illustration, an anecdote. Someone had brought a basket of wake fruit. And that was when the ashram was very small and there were only a few people. You know what an wake fruit means? Yeah, right. Aubergine. And somebody was just sort of playing with it. What can we make out of this? And he said, soup, Swamiji. If you cut it up into bits and, you know, let it float in soup, oh, it's very nice. There is a special way of preparing it. And somebody else says, no. It must be nicely mashed up, you know, like mashed potatoes. This is another preparation. And then someone else says, bake it, Swamiji. And somebody else says something else. And he was very quietly and very smilingly listening to all that. You know what it means? He likes soup. She likes mashed egg fruits. She likes baked ones. Right, that's all. It's quite simple. And the other one likes the whole thing mixed up in a salad. In a situation like that, you pick and choose what your own inner nature dictates. So here is a boy who says, I want self-knowledge. Place in front of him a very long life, pleasure, enjoyment, wealth, all that sort of thing, power. Not in an attitude of testing. Self-knowledge is there, you asked for it. That's there. But have you finished with all this? Or are you still looking for some of these along with that? I'd like to have self-knowledge, but, you know, occasionally I might have a glass of beer, that sort of thing. So, that was what the master used to do. You enjoy those things, you occupy positions of power, prestige, etc. And you yourself come to the understanding, not quite the conclusion. You yourself arrive at the understanding that there's nothing in it. Not because someone else said so. While the master is still there, while the master is standing at your elbow, ready to come to your help, pick you up, so that you don't collapse and get lost forever. He is still there. And so he says, go on. Would you like to have some of this? Eat it. Enjoy. It's not a test. I don't know if you see that. It's more training than a test. Have this. And when you are enjoying this, something that was hidden in you before jumps out and says, it's nice. He said, nice. Enjoy yourself a little more. So that when it comes to an end, it comes to an end forever. Whereas before this training, your desires and cravings were lying hidden. And someone told you self-knowledge is something great and tremendous, so you'll attain immortality and eternal life. And that was more tempting than this temptation. What do I want self-knowledge for? I want to attain immortality. What do I want self-knowledge for? I want to have eternal bliss. Is that right? It is still, you don't know what it means. If he had been told self-knowledge means cutting your throat and smashing the whole thing, then probably you would be frightened away. But because it was described as eternal life and eternal bliss and perennial bliss, unending happiness, so you are still looking for happiness. They say, ah, wait a moment. Have you finished with this little happiness? Come to this eternal happiness later. It's not a test as much as finding out, training. You ask for self-knowledge, come on, here you are. A packet of chocolates. And without judging, without condemning, I've never heard my master judge or condemn. He likes this, he likes this. That's it. Leave him alone. Let him arrive at the point at which he is able to drop it. Let him arrive at that stage or at that state of development when he is prepared to drop it. Or when it drops away from him. It may sound a bit unorthodox. The person who longs for eternal bliss is not necessarily superior to the one who wants to have immediate enjoyment. Not necessarily. He might also be looking for some kind of, you know, extended pleasure, a glorified, hallowed pleasure. Is it possible to cut the whole thing by the root, destroy the whole thing by the root? When you don't want the immediate pleasure and you don't want the bliss that is eternal, there is no wanting at all, there is no craving at all. It's possible that what is known as testing could also be a matter of bringing about an understanding of the nature of life, the nature of craving. That's also possible. Yama goes on after applauding the choice made by the disciple, Nachiketas, who said, I don't want all this, I would like to have self-knowledge. I don't want to have all this meant, I don't want even what is called eternal bliss. I merely want an answer to my question. I want to get rid of this confusion, I want to get rid of this doubt. The door is open a little bit. If you feel cold, come here. If you feel it cold, come here. Is all right? Getting a bit stuck. After finding out that the student did not look for either immediate pleasure or eternal bliss, but chose instead the resolution of a doubt. We'll slightly change it. Self-knowledge or eternal life also sounds a bit funny. Self is real, isn't it? Self is all the time real. There is a doubt, there is a confusion, there is some cloud. And what the student really seeks when he approaches a master is the resolution of that doubt, the dispelling of that cloud, that's all. Whether I am going to have eternal bliss or perennial poverty, perennial pain, all that I don't know. I am not interested also. There is a cloud of doubt, there is a cloud of confusion. And I come to you in order to remove that confusion. when the disciple assured the teacher that that's what I want, I don't want pleasure, I don't want eternal bliss, I don't want anything. Then the master, Yama, says, Shreyascha Prayascha Manushyamedat Tau Sambharitya Vivinakti Dhirah Shreyo Hidiro Abhiprayaso Vrinite Preyo Mando Yoga Kshemat Vrinite. Says, that's very beautiful. You know, in life, there are these two directions. There are these two directions. One sees these two directions without comparing them, without necessarily judging them. There is no value judgment in it. One is called Shreya. Shreya is that which is good. And the other is called Preya, which is pleasant. There is a path which leads to the good, and there is a path which leads to the pleasant. These need not necessarily be opposed to each other. And when a man is standing at the crossroads, he sees in front of him these two branching off. And he looks at both, each one in turn. He looks at the egg fruit and chooses that which is chosen by him. Chooses that which is chosen by him according to his own nature. There is no condemnation here. Sayo dhiro abhipreso vrinite. One who wants liberation, emancipation, salvation, he chooses this road, the road that leads to ultimate good or immediate good. Preyo mando yoga kshema vrinite. The other one is not so bold, so courageous. He would still like to acquire and to have. That is what yoga kshema means. Acquisition is yoga. Here, the word yoga has a different meaning. Acquisition is yoga, and having it, preserving it, is kshema. Preyo mando yoga kshema advrinite. Unfortunately, this word manda has been taken to mean a stupid, wicked and vicious person. It only means a dull-witted person. One who is dull. And that is not said in a derogatory sense. I am a bit dull. How? Only in comparison to him. So, I am dull only to a third person, not to me, not to him. I am what I am, right? Dull or bold. Only when I am compared to somebody else, a third person says, you are dull in comparison to him. If you don't compare yourself at all, then this person goes along that path and that person goes along the other path. The person who chooses the path of Shreya or the good, the towards immediate salvation, the person who chooses the path of immediate salvation, he attains salvation. Okay, that's here. He's there. He's there already. But what happens to the other fellow who goes along the path of acquisition and possession? He will soon find out that this doesn't help. He must do it. He will do it, and he must do it. You cannot do it for him. Nobody can do it for you. Very soon you will come to this understanding that this does not give me what I want. this does not give me what I want. And then I want that, that does not give me what I want. And I want a third thing, that does not give me what I want. I want heaven, that does not give me what I want. Nothing in the world, nothing in the whole universe is going to give me what I... Oh, oh. If I drop what I want, I have it. Is that right? It's a very silly approach, but then that's it. One day or the other, the person is going to wake up to this fact that nothing is can give me what I want. And the trick lies in dropping what I want. This wanting. As soon as this wanting is dropped, I have everything. Because I want nothing. I don't want. Not that I want nothing. There is no wanting. There is no condemnation here. And getting this cue, the hint, it is not this, it is not that, it is not this, it is not that. It is beyond description. One person chooses this path, the other person chooses that path. Both of them go round and round, till eventually this happens. Something happens within. And there is freedom. There is immediate liberation. After listening to that, Nachiketa asks, tell me, what is beyond all this? Tell me what is beyond all that. Tell me what is beyond all this wanting. Wanting to go to heaven, wanting to go to hell, wanting to enjoy here. What is it that is beyond all wants? Anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat, anyatra asmat krita kritat, anyascha bhutascha bhivyascha, yet pashyasi tadvata. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. This is dharma. This Shreya is dharma, let's say. Where you get immediate salvation, or you may go to heaven immediately. Experience the kingdom of heaven here and now. Anyatra adharmat, the path of pleasure, where you are forced to commit sins, along with a little bit of merit here and there, now and then, you know, unwittingly. Sometimes we do good also, without serious intention. So that is the path of dharma and this is the path of adharma. This is the path of righteousness and that is the path of unrighteousness. There seems to be something which is beyond all this. Along one path, there is dynamic action. In the pursuit of the pleasant, one does, one exerts. In the pursuit of the pleasant, one exerts. In pursuit of righteousness, one exerts. One exerts to do what is right, what is good, some charity, etc., etc., penance, meditation, yoga. And in pursuit of immediate emancipation, one refrains from doing. The one path is full of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Is that right? The path of emancipation is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not tell a lie, and thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not blink, and thou shalt not keep awake, thou shalt not... And you take to the other path and thou shalt give charity and thou shalt be good and thou shalt do that and thou shalt help the poor and thou shalt all that. So this path is full of restraint and that path is full of poking. On, goading. Is there something other than all this? This young boy wants to know. Tell me what you see as other than both these. And in reply to that, Yama gives a very beautiful answer. Sarve Veda yat padamamananti tapamsi sarvani yat chayat vadanti yadichanto brahmachadyam charanti tatte padam sangrehena bravimyo mityedat. It's a mysterious and mystic answer. Sarve Veda yat padamamananti. There is something which all the Vedas really describe. Not doing and not non-doing. That which all scriptures proclaim is that which is not encompassed by action or inaction. It's something beyond that. And it is in order to reach that that people perform austerities and penance and things like that, meditation and things like that. It is not attained by action, by doing anything. And yet, in order to realize that which is, eternally, and that which is not an attainment, one puts forth effort. What for? To clear the debris. To blow the clouds away. Not to create the sun. Not to bring the sun into being. But merely to blow the clouds away. Yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti. Desiring that, people perform, people observe celibacy, continence. Or, if you adopt the other definition, people practice whole-souled, dedicated seeking. Constantly allowing one's total whole being flow in the direction of the Self. Therefore, the flow is not external, the flow is internal. And therefore, it becomes a total and complete and full circle immediately. It doesn't go out as a spiral, but as soon as the impulse, the movement of energy takes place within, it is completed in a circle. That is called Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya is when the desire finds its fulfillment immediately, when the aspiration finds its goal immediately, when the seeker seeks himself. The seeking is still there, but the seeking is immediately ended. The seeker seeks himself. Yadichanto brahmacharyam vadanti tatte padam sangrehena bravimyo mityedat. I'll tell you that in just one syllable. Not a word of one syllable, in just one syllable. Om. That's it. If you do not understand what that means, he says, I'll explain to you a little more. if you have understood that, that's perfect. And that which is indicated by this Om, which is yourself, I don't know if you understand the joke here. Why doesn't this Yama say, you know, there is an inner light, there is, and if you see that, then you create an image. An object, the mind creates an object, the intellect creates an object, and then goes on chewing it, cannibalizing it, interminably. Back in the same square one. Previously I thought all this mountain, the lake and the trees, and then all of you and all of I, all this is real, and went on chewing the unreal reality. But now that you have told me that there is a self, there is an Atma, there is Brahman within you, hidden within you, I create a lovely little Brahman in me and go on chewing that. It's the same thing.